I alluded to this earlier as we kicked off the service, but this is the most significant day in human history. There's nothing more important in the life of a Christian than Easter Sunday, also known as Resurrection Sunday. As important as Christmas is, we needed the birth of Christ here on the earth. It was all a part of what needed to happen. If Jesus would have just came on the earth, we still would have been lost in our sins. You understand that? And as important as the cross is in our life, when Jesus was made our sin, if the only thing that would have happened was the cross, we still would have been lost in our sins. It's only through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been made free from sin and alive unto God. So that's why this is the most significant event in Christianity and in mankind. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's go over in our Bible to Luke chapter 10 this morning. In praying about what we should talk about this morning, I really felt released by the Lord that we need to continue on what we've been talking about as a church body, the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about the authority of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Now we went over to Matthew 28 and verses 18 and 19, where the Lord Jesus Christ, after His resurrection, appears to His disciples and boldly declares before them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then He says right after that, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them the things which I have commanded you." And then we went over to Mark chapter 16 and went into a lot of the different things that the Lord said that we're going to go therefore and do in His name. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And He lists many other things there which we're going to probably delve into today. But see, it's only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we now have this authority given to us, because He had to be raised from the dead so that He could obtain not only the authority in heaven as the Son of God, but all the authority that's on the earth as the Son of Man. And He accomplished what the first Adam lost, what the first Adam failed in, the last Adam has regained it unto us. Praise God. This is the beauty of our resurrection. So there's many things that the resurrection has accomplished for us. There's many things that Christ Jesus has done through His death, burial, and resurrection. But one of them is He has now delegated authority and power unto us. Amen. Praise God. And these things are now supposed to be operating in and through our lives. Glory to God. Now, are you there in Luke chapter 10? Let's go over there, and I'm going to conclude this series on the authority of the soldier here on Resurrection Sunday by looking at a beautiful passage of Scripture. Now, we have been looking at, over the past couple of weeks, many different scriptures in the four Gospels where the Bible says that Jesus would delegate His authority and His power to His disciples. But if you'll notice, every one of them that we've looked at has been Him giving the power to cure diseases, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons to the 12. To His 12 closest disciples. Well, here in Luke chapter 10, we have that question answered. Well, what does this mean for us? Because I'm not one of the 12. I'm not one of the apostles. I'm not a preacher. I'm not church leadership. I'm not fivefold ministry. Yeah, sure, they got all the authority, but what about me? Well, notice this scripture right here. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70. 70 others also." Some translations, some Greek manuscripts actually say 72. Really doesn't matter whether it was 70 or 72. We're talking about more than 12 here, amen. "And He sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go." Now look at verse 17. "Then the 70, after He had sent them out, the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name.' And He said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for the authority that you have given to us, the power you have delegated to us. And we thank you, Lord, that all that have called on your name and been born by your Spirit, all of our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, registered in heaven. Therefore, we have great and glorious things promised to us. And Father, I'm asking this morning that through the sound of my voice and the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation to all those here and today. And if there is any person in here whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Father, make it known to them this morning. Holy Spirit, convict. Make known. Bring to light so that, Father, we are not deceived and we would remain in our sins and we would truly experience the power of your resurrection. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Notice this passage of Scripture here in verse 17 again. It says, then the 70 returned with joy. Again, he didn't say the 12. This is not the closest ones to Jesus. This is the 70. This is your average Joe Blow disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, this was before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So we're talking about unregenerate guys here. You understand that? This is not spiritually alive, quickened people. This is people who have not received the Holy Spirit yet. Yet, when they were sent out two by two, they went into all these places, and then all these demons were subject to them. They were obeying them. When they tell them to go, they went. So needless to say, they returned with joy. Now, this is something the Lord showed me this week. If you'll notice, when you go back and look at when Jesus would send the 12 out before this, they never returned with joy. Isn't that interesting? The 70 were the ones that returned with joy, and I believe the Lord shined his light on it to me this week and told me why. You know why? Because it exceeded their expectations. Sure, they could believe that Peter, John, and James, these guys that were tight with Jesus, were being used. And sure, they had been delegated a certain sense of authority. No problem believing that. But the 70 were a little shocked that even the demons were subject to them in his name. And how many times does that work out with us? We think, oh yeah, I have no problem believing pastor can cast out demons and pastor can heal the sick and all the different fivefold ministry out there, but I sure would be shocked if it happened through me. And see, that's what's happening here. They returned with joy and came back to the Lord and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so allow me to say it the way I believe they said it to him. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, the word subject is a term of authority. It literally means to be submitted to or to be subordinate to. Amen. They're under us. Amen. So we're talking about authority right here. And when they returned with joy here saying this, notice what the Lord said. Because this is super significant to us and something we never need to lose sight of. When they returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us, it was in his name, right? Amen. So it's in the Lord's name, not in their own name. Now, we spent a whole week talking about this in this church, didn't we? That when you do these things, you're not doing them in your name. Meaning you're not doing them in your character, in your holiness, in your own power, and in your own abilities. You are doing all these works in his name, in his place, in his position, in his authority, in his stead. Amen. And see, this is where I think they lost sight of this, is that they thought it was amazing that the Lord was using them because they were just your average disciple. They weren't one of the 12. They weren't one of the apostles. But the Lord turns around and says to him, notice this. He says something very interesting. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, I used to question this. I'm like, Lord, what does that have to do with what they were so excited about? But I believe the Lord was attempting to sober them up a little bit. You shouldn't be so shocked and impressed when demons do what you tell them to do. Why? Because I was there. I was the Logos of God. And I was there in the very beginning. And when Lucifer, that fallen angel, attempted to rebel against God and all of his people, and he convinced and deceived a third of the angels to follow them, when they came to try to usurp his authority, and they came and tried to take and become like the Most High God, the Lord God evidently took care of them in a pretty swift way. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Amen. Now, you know, if you blink, you can miss lightning, can't you? So we're talking about a pretty quick way that the Lord took care of them. Now, the Lord gave me this last night, and I called a couple of people. I was just so excited about this. And I just want to read this to you, because this is good. You ready for this? Now, if you don't understand nothing about professional wrestling or pay-per-view, just flow with me here. Because this blessed me anyways. The event Jesus was likely referring to here was when Satan, being an angel in heaven named Lucifer, tried to rebel against God because his heart was lifted up in pride to be like him. The scriptures teach us that he was able to deceive a third of the angels in heaven to war against the Lord of hosts. Now notice this. And can you imagine how that went down? Jesus told us right here what happened when he said that he was there to witness Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, as you know, when it comes to lightning, if you blink, you'll miss it. So this shows us that if you were to have ordered this so-called war in the heavenlies on pay-per-view, then we wouldn't have gotten our money's worth. Now, how many of you know you used to order them Mike Tyson fights when they'd go on, and Mike Tyson would just, boom, one punch, they're down. And you're like, man, I didn't get my money's worth on that. It was no match whatsoever. Just like when Jesus was being accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, what did he say? If I cast out demons by the finger of God. Did he not say that? So he's indicating there that the way he dealt with demons was just with God's finger. Not with God's hand, not with God's arm, not with God's whole body, just with his finger. Amen. So notice this. Here's what I imagine happened. Lucifer and all his angels ganged up, roaring as they came against the Most High God, and the Lord just simply flicked him with his finger, and the devil fell like lightning from heaven. So don't be deceived, brethren. This wasn't like the main event at WrestleMania, where you get a back and forth 20-minute good match going on. Amen. No, if you would have paid to see this, the only thing that you would have been impressed by was the knockout ability of our God. See, that's what Jesus was attempting to show his disciples here. When they were all impressed and excited that the demons were doing what they told them to do, the Lord said, hey guys, not really a big deal. I was there to witness when their leader, their chief, tried to rebel against God. God just flicked him right out of heaven. He fell like lightning. That's why I believe hell's right in the middle of the earth, praise God. Because he fell with such impact, amen. He went right to the center of the earth, glory to God. See, the reason why I bring this out, and I believe why Jesus was bringing this out, is because he's attempting to clarify to us, do not be deceived and think that there's this battle going on. God and the devil are not rivals, you understand that? There is no contest. There is no competition whatsoever. And when you do things in his name, it's no competition either. Because notice what else he said. Look at the next verse, verse 19. First word, behold. Right? Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now the word behold here is an important word. When you look it up, it literally means to behold something means to see something or to look at something. But when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it says look with an exclamation point. It's a word of emphasis to help us to see something. In other words, if we were to be there when Jesus had said this, he wouldn't have just said, behold. He would have said, guys, look at this. If you're impressed with the fact these demons have to do what you tell them to do, check this out. It's a word of emphasis. It's a word of amazement. I'm going to show you something, because if this is impressing you, let me show something that's, if this floats your boat, let me show you something that'll really impress you. Behold, I give you the authority. I give you. Now, the word give there literally means to graciously give. So what he's telling them there is part of the good news that he had shared with them here is, I am graciously giving you this authority. See, what we got to understand is the authority that we have in Christ through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is not a wage you earn. It's not something you can work for. It's not something that you can feel qualified for. The authority that you have in Christ is a grace that is given to you. I give you the authority. Amen? So when the Lord right here is saying, check this out, guys. I got some really awesome news for you. If you're getting so excited about this, let me share this with you. Behold, I give you the authority. See, what he's talking about here is the gospel. You understand that the gospel, we use this word too lightly today. Most people, when you ask them what the gospel is in church, what do they say? It's good news. But that word does not, those words just do not do it justice. The word gospel was not a common word that was used back then. It was almost a word that Jesus had coined because he was trying to share with us, it's not just good news, it's news that's too good to be true, but it is. In other words, it's good news that exceeds your expectations. It's over the top good news. Amen. It's news that don't get no gooder than this. That's what Jesus is saying. And so all these things that are laid out through Jesus' resurrection is, one of the main things is, you've got this authority over the demons. And notice what he says, I give you the authority to what? To trample on them. Now, when you see the word trample, if you were to envision somebody trampling on something, what does that denote to you? What does that indicate? It does not indicate there's a struggle going on. It doesn't indicate that they're at the same level as you. The only way you can trample on something is if you are higher than it and you are bigger than it. So don't get this view in your head that, oh, the devil's up there and I'm just trying to survive and trying to live the Christian life and I'm just hoping he don't mess with me, so I ain't going to say too much to ruffle his feathers. You need to understand, you are far above him because of who you're in. And because of who you're in, you are far above him. Because Jesus Christ is far above all principalities and powers. Amen. And the Bible says that he put all things under his feet. His feet are not on his head. His feet are attached to his body. So that's you. Amen. So we have been given more power, more authority than we can possibly imagine. The power and the authority that enables us to trample on all these serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, what's he referring to right here? Let's look at what some of these things mean. Serpents and scorpions. Now, Jesus was not giving us an exhaustive list of all the things we have authority over here. You understand that? He mentions two major things that, because of the geographic location that they lived in, two of the most hurtful and harmful things that they had to deal with on a daily basis. If Jesus were here in the United States of America, he probably wouldn't have used scorpions, because we don't deal with that too much here. You understand that? He was dealing with the things that were dangerous where they were at. Okay? And you can actually look over at Psalm 91 where he talks about you will tread on the lion and the cobra. Amen? So these terms are being used to describe to us natural things that can hurt you. Okay? So we have the authority and the power to what? Trample on these natural things that would attempt to harm us. Now, if you'll note that when we were over there in Mark chapter 16 and we talked about these signs that will follow you, who believe? What was the first thing? In my name, they will cast out demons. And then what did he say? They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, some people in their ignorance have basically said, okay, well, let's start doing snake handling during services. No, that's ignorance gone to seed. You understand that? That's just stupid and foolish to tempt God by doing things like that. But what it does mean is this. If you happen to be like in the Apostle Paul's situation in Acts chapter 28, you remember when he was stuck on the island of Malta? And you remember when he was gathering up sticks, doing the Lord's work? He was in the middle of God's will, and he was gathering up sticks, and that viper attached to its hand. Attached to his hand. And what did the Bible say that he did? He shook it off in the fire and continued doing what he was doing. Notice his response there. He didn't get bit by a snake and say, oh my gosh, everybody pray for me. Let's call a prayer chain right now because something's about to happen. I need y'all to intercede for me. No, he just shook it off in the fire and continued doing what he was doing. So how does this work? It works like when these natural things try to harm us, we must be so persuaded in our heart that these things are ours and that we have the authority to resist anything harmful against us that we don't let it affect us. We just continue to go on doing what we were doing. We don't freak out. We don't panic because it don't work if you're not in faith about it. Amen. We've got to have this stuff laid out in our heart. Now notice this. So he talks about these natural things, and then he says, I love how he puts this next statement in there. Trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all, say all, all the power of the enemy. Now what does this mean? This means anything. Now, the word power is actually a good translation here. It's the Greek word dunamis, which means power or ability. So he's talking about right here, any of the ability of Satan whatsoever, you have the authority to trample on it. Amen. Now, again, he's talking to unregenerate believers, followers of him who have not been born again yet, not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. So how much more is this a reality for his disciples today that are born of his Spirit and filled with his Spirit? Amen. Over all the power of the enemy. And notice this, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And look, notice the words here, nothing. Absolutely nothing shall by any means hurt you. In the Greek language, the words by any means literally mean this. No, not at all. There is no way, shape, form, or fashion that anything in the natural or the spiritual has the authority or the power to hurt you. Amen. Now, this is pretty good news, isn't it? But it's true. Is it in the Word of God? Am I reading Scripture to you today? In fact, it's in red letters, amen. Notice this, though. Go to verse 20, please. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, this is awesome, saints. What this is teaching us is this was some pretty good news. And you know, if we're walking in the reality of everything he had just said in verse 19, we would have a tendency to be getting rejoiceful, rejoicing about this and getting some joy about this kind of thing. This is awesome. We're walking in the reality of these covenant promises. We got all this authority and all this power at our disposal. This is great. But Jesus said, don't derive your joy from the fruit of your authority. Rather, get your joy from the root of your authority, which is the fact that your names are written in heaven. Now, if you'll notice, the Bible says that Satan fell like lightning from heaven, right? And then he says right here, your names are written in heaven. So I believe what the Lord was attempting to show us right here is this. You know, Lucifer had a place and position of authority when he was in heaven. You understand that. He was one of the archangels. He was one of the top angels. And now he's saying right here is, now your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't be surprised when the devil and all his cohorts have to do what you tell them to do. Because why? You have taken that position of authority in heaven. In fact, an even greater position of authority in heaven has been given to you. Because why? Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, all these other promises, all these other truths are yours. They're self-evident. Hallelujah. We've got the authority now. All these things are ours. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about the Lamb's Book of Life, and that there are books in heaven that people's names are written in. Hallelujah. And it's referring to those who have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, have come to follow Him. Your names are registered in heaven. The writer of Hebrews said that. Amen. So if your name is registered there, if your name is placed in those books, what comes with that is all the rest of these promises. Amen. Isn't that good news? Gooder news than you could possibly have ever imagined. Amen. Praise God. And this is what we should be rejoicing in. So I encourage you today that when you go about your daily business and you're just operating and these signs are following you just because you're a believer, not because you've earned it, not because you are holy enough and you got the best prayer life out of everybody, it doesn't matter. When these signs are following you, only derive your joy, only rejoice in the truth, in the fact that your name is written in heaven. I believe personally that every day we should remind ourselves, thank you, Lord. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am registered in heaven. My name is in the book. So my salvation is eternally secure. And I thank you, Lord, because I am seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And because He's been raised from the dead, I've been raised up together with Him. So positionally, I am seated with Christ in God. And it don't get no better than that. So it don't matter what happens in this natural. It doesn't matter how much of a lack of experience of things you might have in your life and you're not experiencing all the promises. The sheer fact that you are going to heaven and you're going to spend eternity in the presence of God should mean more to you than anything else. So my question to you this morning is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you registered in heaven right now? Now, I know there's a lot of people that come to church on Easter Sunday, and there's a lot of people that come to church all the rest of the year, too, that are not written in heaven. And this is something we always need to evaluate and determine. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Do you believe with your heart? Have you truly committed your life to Christ? Have you totally given yourself over to Him? Are you like one of these 70 where you have lived your life totally for the Lord? Have you been born again? Have you been raised up together with Christ Jesus? We would be foolish to think that everybody that's here this morning has had this experience in their life. So I want everybody to stand on your feet this morning. And I would like to give everyone an opportunity this morning. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're ready to become His disciple, you're ready to commit your life unto Him today, I want to open up these altars to you today. And we'll have people here to pray for you and lead you. It's so simple. It's by grace. It's not by your works. Somebody will say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. And my response to that is always, yeah, and you don't know what Jesus has done. Because if you knew what Jesus has done, you'd know it no matter what you've done. His grace is greater than your sin because the Lord is stronger. He is stronger. And sin is broken, and Jesus Christ has saved us. So if that's you, I want to invite you to come forward, and I'll meet you here at this altar, and we will pray for you and lead you into the prayer that is the best prayer you could ever pray. You can become alive together with Him. I also want to open up the altar that if you need prayer for anything else, maybe you're struggling in life, maybe you've got physical pain in your body, maybe you're dealing with some tormenting spirits, whatever it might be, the Lord wants to meet you here today and wants to help you through that. And we'll be happy to minister to you in that respect. So if any of these things fit you this morning, I want to invite you to come forward right now and we will pray for you. Amen. If our prayer ministers would come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the authority that we have in your name. We have been blessed by you, Lord. And we thank you, God, this morning for the opportunity to worship you and serve you in this place. Thank you, Jesus.